We're back with Rabbi Beryl Wein. This week, we're talking about which parsha?
Parshat Vayakel, which this year is separate from its twin Pekudei, which they usually march together, but in a leap year as such as this year, 5763, they are separated. The parsha of Vayakel introduces itself with an idea regarding the Sabbath. The whole parsha concerns itself with a review of the building of the temple, of the Mishkan, and an accounting for what happened, etc. So then what is Shabbos doing here in the middle, right? Well, so the rabbi saw in it two important lessons. One lesson was that Shabbos is so great that even the building of the tabernacle is secondary to it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to build even the greatest edifice, the holiest edifice on Shabbos. The lesson there is that you don't save the Shabbos by desecrating the Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
A lesson which unfortunately has been brought home to much of American Jewry. When the rules of the Sabbath were relaxed, and they said, well, it's all right to do this and this because you're going to go to the synagogue or et cetera. But as it has played itself out over the last decades, it's obvious that that didn't quite work.
Mm.
The Sabbath is not saved by destroying it. The second idea, because the only specific malocha type of work that's forbidden, lo sevaru eish b'chol moshvaseichem b'yom haShabbos, not to light fire on the Sabbath day. So, for instance, the Karaites took that literally. They sat in the dark for 24 hours.
Are they still sitting in the dark?
Well, there aren't that many Karaites left, but that's part of it. If you take the Torah literally, you're gonna climb up a tree you can never crawl out of, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Torah was meant, the greatest proof that there is the oral law is reading the written law, because the written law is completely not understandable, almost irrational without the understanding of the oral law, which explains it, directs it, guides it, gives it its vitality, right? So the Karaites rejected the oral law, like the Tzedokim rejected the oral law, etc., the divinity of the oral law. So eventually you end up with you end up with a written law that you're almost ashamed of.
Right. So from one extreme of the Karaites who would sit in the dark, and then we have the other extreme or is it another extreme of not turning on a fluorescent bulb in your house or in your bathroom?
So that has to do with the definition of electricity. Is electricity fire? The rabbi, when electricity first came into wide use in the late 1800s in Europe, and there are places in Lithuania today that are still not electrified,
right.
You know? That's a different topic. But when it first came into use, so there was a rabbinic discussion, what is the nature of electricity? And they originally held, based upon ideas that scientists told them, that somehow it had to do with fire. And therefore, to turn on the fluorescent bulb meant making a fire on the Shabbat, and making a fire is explicitly prohibited. That view changed in the 1930s and 1940s, especially under the influence of Rabbi Avrom Yehoshua Karelitz, the famous Chazon Ish, because he correctly pointed out that the problem with electricity is not fire.
Mm-hmm.
There's no fire in electricity.
Right.
But it is building. Mm-hmm. It's creating a circuit. It's completing a circuit and breaking a circuit,
mm-hmm.
which falls under the category of bone, of building something, or soter, of breaking something. And that is the problem. And therefore, if it can be done without you, there is no problem. Hence the introduction of the Shabbos clock, automatic clocks, which are almost de rigueur in every religious Jewish home in the world today, to turn on your lights for you and turn them off for you, and even turn on appliances, etc. So that came, and that's all within the rabbinic framework of the definition of what the melachot, of what the work on Shabbos is that is prohibited. And as technology improves, to a certain extent, the quality of life of Shabbos, the physical quality of life of Shabbos also improves. You have today here in Israel, you have elevators to the British lifts that can work automatically. So there was a time when you lived on the 20th floor.
And you walked up.
And then there was a time when people relied that a non-Jew would operate the elevator for you, but that was problematic halachically. But today, for instance, there's an organization here in Israel called Tzomet, which is devoted solely to perfecting technological ways of observing the Sabbath. So, for instance, they have a Shabbos telephone, which doctors use. It's used very widely. People who have to use a telephone. So it is built in such a way that there is no desecration of the Sabbath, per se, in using the telephone. We don't use the telephone, even if it has no desecration of the Sabbath, because it's not what we call Shabbos dick.
It breaks the spirit.
But if you're a doctor, or if you're a policeman, or, you know, I mean, So then we have to devise a way that they can use a telephone.
Right.
And the defense ministry in Israel, et cetera. So the same thing, they have elevators, they have telephones, they even have a Jeep that's used as a security vehicle in many of the outlying settlements here in the country, in the religious settlements. So then this Jeep has no Sabbath prohibitions, because it's been technologically worked out of it. And that's the thrust here. The thrust here is that the Shabbos is not a jail. The Shabbos is not a prison. The Shabbos is the greatest gift that a person can have. It's the one day a week you can be yourself.
So you're of the school of thought that says that if there's a way to observe Shabbos with the appliances of modernity, go for it, so long as it can be done.
It's not my school of thought. That's the prevailing school of thought that exists in the Jewish world amongst all the great scholars. If you read the rabbinic response, Rabbi Avadia Yosef, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, all of the great rabbinic decisors of the 20th century have always attempted to find the key, the way to do it, right? And our technology today and our computer technology and everything else that we have allows that to happen. And that's God's gift to us.
But of course, the main message of this not working, sometimes people lose sight of the because of the minutiae, they lose sight of the big picture. And of course, the big picture, Rabbi, about not without the lights and not turning on the lights and not driving a car, the big picture has more to do with putting ourselves
in a special state, a special day, a special, divorcing ourselves from the mundane, from the everyday. If Saturday is like Tuesday, then you missed, I know people who've told me Saturday is the worst day of the week for them, because then the kids are home and there's no school and you got to go shopping and you got to do this and you got to carpool, you know. They dread Saturday. I wait the whole week for Friday night for Shabbos. I wait the whole week for it. Keeps me going in times that are not so easy, and days that are not so easy, because I know that Shabbos is on the way. And it's a day for the family. It's a day for yourself. It's a day to study, to read. It's a day to sleep. You know, you take a nap in the afternoon without guilt. It's a tremendous gift, and Judaism always saw it as a gift. The rabbi said, "Matono achas yesh li bebeis ginzai. I have in my treasure house a gift, v'Shabbos Shmo, and its name is Shabbos." We all, and the most secular of authors phrased it correctly when he said that more than the Jewish people kept the Sabbath kept the Jewish people.
Beautiful, beautiful thought. Thank you so much, Rabbi Wein. We'll see you again next week.